It's always an honor to speak to young adults and share with you guys most of our stories really related in that period of time of our life. I'm 34, 35. I keep saying 34. I want to digress, but I'm 35, and she's going to be pretty soon 28. So just kidding. But I can't say her real age or I will sleep in the garage. So we're very, very excited to be here. Definitely. We love young adults. We love, you know, both of us actually work with teenagers for many years. I was a youth leader, then a youth pastor, and then she taught the junior hires. And so, you know, but we were both part of the young adult service that we had at her dad's church. So, you know, we're just going to go over some things, but let me pray first. Father God, I want to ask that you would speak to our hearts today, Lord. You have a purpose for us. You have a destiny. You have not just our story, but your story is so far more powerful. The thread behind or through our story, so weaved through our story, so amazing, God. So I want to ask that you would absolutely bring that out, Lord God, your influence and your touch through our hearts and through our lives for us to be what we are today and hopefully become even better in the future. That's what you have for these guys right here, Lord God, an amazing future. So we pray that that future be imparted and enlightened and doors open right before them tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to start just saying that, you know, our story, I'm really, really somewhat of a, I'm really steady. So what do I mean by that? I'm really boring at the same time. I'm really predictable in a lot of ways. I love predictability. That's just who I am. That's just how I was formed. Mainly, probably my story is the fact that I grew up with a single mom, not because my father left us. He passed away when he was really young. So I became part of my coping mechanism was steadiness. I do things on a rhythm, on a schedule. At the same time, I deliver results. That's just my nature. But that nature, even though it's good in some ways, it's bad in other ways. It's terrible when it comes to relationship, because relationships are not programmed. You know, I was telling Tracy yesterday, she's like, what's her love story? I was like, I was a man on a mission, and you were part of it. So there, I deliver. So my programming kind of helped. But at the same time, it affects the way you deal with things and you do things. Let me get an idea of who's out there. How many of you are single? Raise your hand. All right. How many of you are married? Good. How many of you are somewhat in relationships right now? Okay. I'll give us an idea. So I am from Dominican Republic. I was born and raised in Dominican Republic. It's a little island. Probably you hear about it now that Haiti's a big deal. It's the same island with two countries, the only case in the world. But we share the island with Haiti, and we're the other part of the island. That's Dominican Republic in the Caribbean. So I grew up there. I learned English through my friends and relationship and working in missions. I worked with Youth with the Missions and Teen Mania for many years. And so working in those relationships, I learned English. My main language is actually Spanish. So God has blessed me to be able to learn it and understand it. And that's my cultural background. So for her, she is completely American or gringa, mi gringuita. So she, that's her background, but she actually learned Spanish because her parents were missionaries in Latin America. And that's sort of what we picked up. So go ahead, honey. It's your turn.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
It is an honor for us to be here, really. And we're just hoping that you get something. But we know God is working. He'll drop something in your heart while we talk. But just to give you a little bit of background, you know, we want to talk about kind of our single life before we got married, because God was really doing a lot to prepare us, a lot of steps for preparing. In youth, I'll go as far back as youth group. I walked closely with God. I knew I had a calling in God. I was on fire for God. You know, how many here were in youth group and were on fire for God in youth group? Okay, some of you. And as soon as I hit 18, my dad, who was really protective, didn't let me do much on my own, you know, was kind of a control freak, was like, well, now you're 18, now you're an adult, so guess what happened? Of course, I kind of went crazy, you know, like, yes, I'm in control of my own life, I can do whatever I want, which is normal and good. You know, there has to be that, like, I'm making my own decisions now, that's healthy. But I had a lot of resentment and anger in my heart towards him in particular, and both my parents actually. And so that was like this issue that was just boiling in my heart, this storm that was inside, and it was hard for me to get rid of it, you know? And so between the ages of like 18 and 21, I still was on fire for God. I knew I had a calling, but at the same time, coming to the surface was all this anger, you know, and frustration and, you know, of all the things that had gone, the dysfunction in my home, you know. And here my dad was the pastor, so that was even harder to deal with, you know. And so I was going to college, and just to try and forget about some of the drama at home or some of the things that I would stew over it. You know, has anybody ever done that? You're driving and you're like, oh my gosh, if you were here right now, I would just tell him this, and why did you do that? And you're such a jerk, and you know. And I just developed that as a habit. And it was just thinking about things and getting all worked up, and I would just, you know, started just wanting to forget about it all. I would go to parties and just go out with friends, just like, okay, I just got to get away from this, you know, and drinking a little bit and still doing enough so that it wasn't like a big sin. But I was really just trying to escape a lot of the pain that I was feeling inside, you know, and the frustration and like, this is so wrong, you know. Can anyone relate to that at all? It's like frustrated but wanting to serve the Lord, but finding I felt myself going back and forth. You know, Friday night we'd go out and I'd have a lot of fun and feel some relief from some of the thoughts in my head. And then Sunday morning I'm on the worship team, you know, and just like crying, God, you know, he's showing me his love, and I'm like, God, you know, I just went out Friday night. And so it was kind of a double life, and it was slowly kind of going downhill, you know. And I hit 21 years old, and I lived and grew up in Las Vegas, Nevada. And so the magical number is 21, you know, and it's probably similar here, but all the fun is at the clubs, you know, right? And so as soon as I hit 21, that was just another phase, and I just started going downhill, you know, and just
That's
kidding.
What she meant me. I was a dancer. Just kidding. It's a joke, okay?
So, anyway, and I still felt pretty holy. Most of my friends were sleeping around and getting drunk and hangovers. I wasn't doing any of that, you know? But I was still doing things that were way beyond God's boundaries for my life. You know what I'm saying? And still just being torn in half, you know, going off and having fun in the world. And, you know, it is fun. It is. Some things in the world are fun, but there's just that feeling inside like, this is wrong, you know, this really isn't right. So I hit that slippery slope at 21 and started to just do more and more, get drunk a little bit more, not just a buzz, but like drunk, you know.
You want to share your trip to Peru?
Yes. So moving me along here.
Yes.
And but I do want to, you know, let you know that I knew for sure there was no more pretense anymore. Because before it was like, I'm so much better than my friends. They call me like, you know, Miss Goody Two Shoes. Now there was, you know, no pretending. So I got an offer to go to Peru, where I was born. And I thought, okay, I'll go on a vacation. My parents were like, we'll pay your ticket. Of course, they were probably praying for me like crazy. And when I got to Peru, everything kind of hit me like, what am I doing with my life? You know, I'm not Miss Goody Two Shoes. I'm not, this is wrong. It really hit me. And I had the biggest encounter with God I've ever had at a prayer meeting and just bawled my eyes out because I realized I just felt God's love for me. You know, he did not reject me. He was not looking down on me at all. In fact, the sense that I got there with God was that he was just like, I have so many exciting things for you, and I've just been waiting for you. I'm just waiting. And I just was like, oh my gosh, 3 years of my life, God has been waiting, and you know, I could have been doing amazing things for God. And just that feeling of just like, God, just regret, you know, and just feeling his forgiveness. And I was so embarrassed, but God was not embarrassed at all. Like, you know, Pastor Jim and Deborah, he is not in therapy over what you're doing. It's like,
that's right.
He's not shocked whatsoever. And So that was my big coming back to the Lord, and from then on, things took a turn for the better.
So interesting, she didn't share, but God gave her a word and said, when you go back to Las Vegas, I want you to give back to your parents the years you stole from them. So the 3 years she was living out in the world and doing that, she said, I'm going to consecrate this year and go back and serve the church and serve my parents in whatever capacity they wanted her to. And the reason why we want to point that out is because your single years are so crucial, those who are single, for you to determine what really is going to be the outcome of your relationship. If there's one thing that for us was really, really crucial is that we became involved in the work of God in whatever capacity we possibly could. And that helped us carry on, do the things that we wanted to do. In my case, I had a really bad self-esteem. I was chubby all my life. And so, but I would go to gym, do things, play sport. I wasn't just laying around. I just, you know, just my genes don't help me at all. And nowadays the food doesn't help me. So either way, I had my stories that I approached one girl when I was, I don't know, junior high, something like that. And so totally turned me down. And that little event just locked into my heart. After I grew up with her, I didn't have problems necessarily with girls. I mean, there was girls that liked me, and I liked other girls. That wasn't the issue. But I never got into a relationship, not necessarily because I didn't want it. And believe me, I'm glad I didn't, because one of the things we ourselves have agreed on is, I'm going to be honest, I'm not trying to be religious. Don't date unless you want to get married. I'm going to put it out there so that you understand. Don't date unless you want to get married. The moment you date, the moment you open the doors to a whole bunch of things you don't want to deal with. You don't want to deal with. So for me, that was really good in a lot of ways. And just stay away from that. Involve yourself. Get ready. Prepare yourself for the future. Both of us, we went to college. I became a dentist. We're going to show you some pictures in a minute. And then she went and got a journalist degree, an MBA at UNLV. And sorry, what is it you do? You're a mom? No. So we both did something to prepare us for the future. And I want to inspire you to do that. I don't care where you live, if your income is high or you live in a rough part of San Bernardino. It does not matter. Pastor Jim always teaches us that if God did it with him, he can do it with any of us. And it's not just our service in God that he can potentially use, but it's what we see and foresee for the future in our lives. And it's really, really important, you guys. Really important. So I went around, and what happened is both of us needed some really, really internal healing before we met. And that internal healing was so important. And I tell you why. Because if you don't deal with it while you're single, it'll explode while you're married, and it becomes a lot more complicated. So I went. I was a youth pastor in the Dominican Republic. I met her entire family before I met her. So I met her uncle, and her uncle invited me to preach at a youth camp in Peru. I go to South America. I meet her mom and dad, her sister. I mean, just half of the family. I mean, I knew everybody. And her uncle kept saying, you have to meet my niece. You have to meet my niece. So I assume it was this other cousin of her named Karen. So I meet Karen, and so we hit it off, and awesome, and it was like, all right. So I'm assuming, because he said, you need to meet my niece, you know. But her dad said, I did not know her. Her dad, in a conversation, we're in Peru having lunch. Somebody asked, how's your daughter? Oh, she's amazing. She's radiant like the sun. She's doing so good. I never forgot that description. It was so crazy. I was like, who is he talking about? Whoever he's talking about, I want to find out. All of a sudden, something in me just kind of went, dang. But so from there on, we began this relationship with her family. And his dad, oh, sorry, her dad asked me, hey, do you want to pastor one of our churches here in South America? At the time, I was already working as a dentist. I started my practice, but God really spoke to me really strong. I always wanted to be a missionary. I think I shared with you guys last time I was with you. I really wanted to be a missionary. So I packed my bags, sold my practice. It wasn't big because it was fairly new, so I had a few patients. The two patients, my mom and my sister, I give them over to my partner. So I went to South America on an adventure, and we got some pictures to share. Do we have them? Okay, I want you to look at these before we go on with our part, but I don't know, we'll look them on center side. We'll see. Well, I get those going. And so in South America is where everything sort of connect with us. Our roads sort of come to where we meet. And kind of go from there in a little bit. So they're having problems. You okay? Oh, here we go. So The little boat on the top, that was my house for about a month. As you can see, I'm like super huge in comparison to the average Peruvian in the jungle. This is a medical outreach we did a while back. Most of my work we did out there in South America, really, our hearts was in. So what's next? I don't know. Just click through them and I'll explain. And this is actually a mission trip that we sort of hit it off when we went out to Peru together and did a mission trip together. And that's really where our hearts sort of knitted, because we saw each other in action in the work of God. And not just, ooh, you're so hot, ooh, whatever. You know, it wasn't just a physical thing. There's got to be a certain level of physical attraction, but it was really a heart thing. It was like, I see my future, what I want to do in ministry. You have what I want. And she saw me in a leadership capacity and said, I want what you have. And so really the spiritual connection was far greater than our physical attraction. Physical attraction developed later in a much greater way. She always used this expression when we used to be together. She'd say, my love is growing for you. Of course, I was, you know, head over heels for her. So I was like, you know, I already have, you know, my love has grown. So whenever yours grows, let me know, you know. I was just hanging around here. But she kept that inside of me. She kept saying, you know, my love is growing for you. So really important. So important as a single, guys, meet or work with your mate in a system that you want to see her. If it's you believe is the work of God you want to do together, then work each other together in the church and what you're doing in that environment, because that will develop what you're looking for. Instead of just, ooh, I like, you know, the girl's kind of hot, I like that. That's not bad, but then we if we leave it at a superficial level and just a physical attraction level, then we forsake that when you get married, that physical attraction, it doesn't die out. Of course, I'm absolutely in love with her and everything about her. But now we have to deal on our issues, on our personal level, relate with somebody, live with somebody. And so if it's just the physicality, that goes away. So let me go through some other pictures here.
One thing we realized is that during our single years, we were having so much fun with God. After I gave my heart back to the Lord, I just God led my steps. I was able to lead American groups visiting Peru and be like a little tour guide for them. They would do, you know, street dramas and evangelism, and I would take them to Machu Picchu and to see the Incan ruins. And what a dream! And all expenses paid, you know, and just kind of showing them around and helping them pick, you know, what food to eat and stuff. And so I also got to co-host like a Christian MTV show on TV. I mean, it was just like I was living the adventure of my life after I really just gave myself 100% to him. And we were comparing notes. Like, our single years were just like, there was no idle time, really. We were just living for God and having so much fun with it.
Right. Let me finish. This is just together. This is in our youth room back at the other church we were at with her dad. And what's the last picture? I think there's one more maybe. Or two more. Oh, it's our wedding, October of 2001. Didn't you guys get married in October too? July. Okay, so it's around there. Pretty close. Same year. No. And yeah. Oh yeah, I remember that. And then the last one is just our family today. We have three kids, and that's Gabriel, little one. Ethan is the oldest, and Abigail. And they all look like me. She's adopted. So that's it. But so that's what we have today. But we want to go on from there. So our single years, guys, what I'm saying, those who are single, don't look at it as, my goodness, when am I going to get to know this girl? On the contrary, I was really, really invested in whatever God had for me. I was heavily involved in church, heavily involved in my job. I mean, I enjoyed every minute of it. You know, stayed up late with my friends. You know. Back, I was telling, in my head, I was thinking, man, I was like, we were having sleepover guys when Sega Genesis was a big thing. So you can date me from there. So like, you know, little controls. But that was a lot of fun for us. We did all that. That was fun. We didn't just ignore life. So if you're single, invest in that. Here's where our turnaround came. I went, her dad invited me to come over and visit in Las Vegas. And when I came over to visit in Las Vegas, it's when I saw her for the first time. Never seen it before. And it was not love at first sight. It was not. And I always tell her, I said, I am glad in a lot of ways that it was not for us, because we lived a life that is always good to have certain level of fantasy and fun, you know, and the loved one. Oh, it's so our story is more less romantic and more reality, if I can express it that way. It was, you know, there wasn't a lot of bubbles in the air and nothing like that. There was just a real solid love. We were in this for the long run, and we were in it for real. We weren't in it to play. We would ask hard questions anytime, every time. And so I went and I did something similar to Breaking Free. How many of you guys know what Breaking Free is? Okay, really, really good. If you can go through it, phenomenal. I did it. She did it on her own at a dirt church. It's called Taking the Land. And at that moment, I dealt with my issues of rejection and self-esteem. And it was very important, because if I wouldn't have dealt with that, I would have never had the courage to ask her. Ever. I just didn't. Even if somebody, if a girl really, and there was many girls that were absolutely gorgeous that liked me, I wouldn't say a word. Girl, you better say it, because I'm not going to say it. I don't want to get rejected. So for you guys, deal with that issue, because the man should do the pursuit. Yeah. You hear me? Yeah. Man, do the pursuit. Yeah. Girls, he ain't chasing you, just leave him alone. He'll either get and follow and call you and do whatever he needs to do, okay? And that's my part. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm trying to...
So we met in Peru, and then... should I say, or you want to say it? Okay, when we met... sorry, like I said, it's our first time. We met in Peru. I met her at parents' house. Her dad was trying to hook us up. I didn't know that. He said this. He said, hey, why don't you come over and work for me here in Las Vegas, help us out with the youth group. If you work for me for 7 years, I'll give you my daughter. You know the story? Literally, that's what he said. If you work for me for 7 years, I'll give you my daughter. So I was like, all right, sure. You know. But I didn't know that she found out that he was saying those things. So when I show up in Vegas, instead of getting a warm welcome, she hates me. She hates me because she didn't want to be forced into our relationship. And I totally understand that, but I didn't know that. I mean, I show up and this chick just absolutely doesn't want to see me. I'm like, all righty, so what did I do? So for us, it developed from there, and it became really beautiful, and we'll tell you how God did it. But let's, this part, if you want to share.
Like Paul had mentioned, I was busy, or God was busy getting me ready, and I was kind of going through... a program called Door of Hope at that time, which had to do with sexual abuse from your past. And so I was already emotionally like going through this process of, you know, revisiting the past and stuff. And it was just kind of weird timing for him to come, I guess. And but we're so glad that we dealt with those things, you know. And it was a challenge for him too, because he wasn't sure if he was going to take the job. He was getting offers elsewhere. And it was like, are you going to go serve at a church where the pastor's daughter hates you, you know? And he just felt God was just really directing him. And so he accepted the job and was just like, okay, dish it out to me, woman. I'll take it, you know? But I think what's important that we've both saw in each other is that we were willing to follow God's will no matter what. No matter what, you know, God was number one. We were willing to move to China. It was just like, God, send me wherever you want. Do whatever you want. If you want me to be doing the most boring thing for the next 5 years, bring it on. I am here for you, and I love you, God, and that's okay. Or if you want me to do something exciting, and more often than not, it is pretty exciting. I think it was at a Bible study where I said something like that, like, I'm willing to do whatever for God. And I think that was the moment he was like, she's the one. You know, he told me later, and I was like, I don't even remember. But that was my heart. You know, like, I just live for you, God, whatever you want, you know. And he knew that whatever God told him to do, I would be on board. I wouldn't be like, well, but we have to have a house, and what about our two cars? And, you know, it was just like, God, we're yours, you know. And if you can find someone who has a similar heart like that for God, you know, be on fire for God yourself. Find someone who's a good partner in that area.
Okay. Are we boring you to tears already? So we're going to move on. We'll give you some questions and answer later. Like I said, our story, you know, I wish we had more lovey-dovey things, and we'll share some of those. But I told Tracy, I said, honey, I just feel when you share something from a perspective of reality and what's in your heart and really the majority of people are going through, it kind of sets your framework to the reality of life. You know, a lot of us, I was counseling somebody here at church one time. We do marital counseling, and it was a Spanish couple from the Spanish service, and they were about to get divorced, so I'm working with them really hard. And she said something that really snapped into my head and just said, oh my gosh, now I understand. People ignore the reality. She said something, Pastor, he doesn't love me because he doesn't kiss me like they do in the soap operas. And she was serious. She was serious. Her image of love and reality came from a movie. A movie. Hollywood is telling us how we should date. I mean, all these movies. Last night that we're showing, or the night before, this movie, I forgot what it was. This guy who was chubby comes back, becomes a music producer, and what's it called? Just Friends. That's right, Just Friends. And I was like, you know, this is the reality that Hollywood's selling us. This is the reality that they're selling us, and we're totally eating it. That is a non-reality when it comes to God. Non-reality, guys. God brings it in a different way, in a different light. She had a test. Now we're going to move into our dating years and engagement. She had a test in her life. Before we met, she was dating a really accomplished guy. He was a professional baseball player. Now we're buddies. His name is Taylor Myers. He was a pitcher for the Kansas City, not Chief, that's a football, for the Royals. So he was a pitcher for the, he was their top prospect at the time. So she was dating this guy, you know, plenty of money, live around the guys, you know, physical. So already I feel threatened, you know. Here's this guy, you know, six-pack, professional, accomplished, you know, I got my barrel. And so, but that's right, Polo, that's right. That's what I'm talking about. Show it proudly, baby, come on. So there was a lot of things that you kind of look at yourself, and again, goes back to dealing with self-esteem issues, that was my struggle. And so until I dealt with it and understood how God loved me and cared for me and wants a future for me, regardless of my aspect, you understand what I'm saying? But I needed to open the door and let God deal with those issues and allow God to come and work that out. She had a testing and she broke up their relationship. And she said something to me so powerful. She said, I need it. I wanted God to give me the best, not just the good. Now, you need to understand, in a social system, he was the best. Money, looks, everything. But in her life and her spiritual matchup, that wasn't the best for her. So that is so crucial for us to understand that when we're in God, we want the best, not just the good. And it's really, really important that you guys strive for that. Look for it. We're not talking about physical, because she had what society promotes as good. Yet it wasn't a match in terms of future and life and purpose. So we come to our dating years. We get over our issues. She starts sort of giving me a chance. I tell her, hey, listen, I need help with junior hires. And I'm the youth leader at the time. I need help. Can you help me? Okay. So we start working together as friends. But in my heart, I already knew she's the one. I mean, I just know it in my heart. God spoke to me. But I wasn't brave enough to tell her ever. I mean, I was like, every night I would stay up all night praying, God, don't make me ask this girl to, I don't want to tell her, Lord. I mean, I don't want to go there. I was so nervous about telling a girl. And the main reason why is because my best friend is her brother, Denny. And so this guy, so I tell him, I said, dude, I'm so in love with your sister. He's like, oh, don't do that, man. I was like, why? What's wrong? You don't like me? He's like, no, it's not about you, man. I know three guys. And every time they told her, she crushed them, man. She crushed him. She's so hard. She's going to, you know, they send her flowers. She sends them back. I mean, she's going to demolish you. I was like, great. Thanks, dude. So, of course, my self-esteem, I mean, it was just like, man, are you my friend? I mean, what's going on here? So I was really just consumed in that atmosphere. And finally, I got, you know, God spoke to me so strongly one day. And I said, can we meet at Starbucks? At a Starbucks close to my house. And I said, can I meet you there? And just give me 5 minutes of your time. Now, listen to this. I was already going. How many guys have asked a girl something already knowing that she's going to tell you no? Be honest. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Thank you, boys. So I show up, and I'm like, okay, she's going to tell me no, but I just need to tell her to get it off my chest. You know what I'm saying? So I show up. I'm in gym clothes because I'm going to meet with my brother-in-law, who's now my brother-in-law, my best friend, Danny, to go to the gym. So I sit down. Hey, how you doing? I'm all nervous, and I don't know what to say. And I just tell her, look, it'll be, I said, you know, I've had many dreams in my life of something that would be really, really good, and having you in my life would be a dream. And I just knew she was going to say, like, you know, I'm sorry, you know, we're friends. So she said that, and a friend of hers walks by, hey guys, and I was like, that's my cue, I'm out of here. I didn't even say bye, I was just like, all right, see ya. So I just left, and she was like, you know, like, what just happened? And I'll let her, and then I went to the gym with my brother-in-law, and, you know, we're lifting weights, and he's like, man, what happened? Oh, man, I told your sis, I was like, I can tell, man, you're lifting, like, double the weight that you were doing before, and I was like, raw. Go ahead.
Well, I actually didn't say, no, let's just be friends. I was ready to, but I wasn't able to. I just was like, okay. But I thought about that for a couple days. Like, I couldn't do the speech, you know, like, that, you know, I'm just not ready or whatever. And I was like, why? Why couldn't I do that, you know? And I just started searching my heart, and I just realized, like, you know, this guy has an amazing future, and he's going to have an amazing girl with him. And I just didn't want it to be anyone else. You know what I'm saying? And I just realized, like, I don't want him to get away. You know, I don't want him to have this amazing future with someone else. I want it to be me. And at the same time, I knew that we needed just to take it really slow. Have you ever been in, like, a flash in the pan, like, oh my gosh, he's so amazing, and you're like talking on the phone, and you're just like, oh, be still my soul. And then it's over in like 2 weeks, and you're like, that was so shallow, you know? I was so tired of that. I was like, God, this has to be the real deal. We have to be friends, and then and that's exactly how it worked out. We worked together, we got to know each other, and it was just, let me tell you, I was in a tiny church, no other single people, okay? I was an island, seriously, and it was like a miracle. God brought me a guy from thousands of miles away. So if you feel like, I know everybody here at Shift, I know everybody here at The Rock, and there's just nobody for me, there is someone. God will bring them.
Amen.
Just trust him, you know, just be on fire for him, and it'll come, because, I mean, he made it work for me. And anyway, that night, I guess it was a few days later, I was like, let's talk again. And I needed to be honest. I didn't want to be like, yeah, let's hook up. I was like, you know, I think maybe there might be something. He was like, oh, just twist the knife, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm like, just let it out, girl. I mean, I'm working hard here.
But I just told him, I want to be really, really honest. You know, let's maybe try something, and if it doesn't work out, then that's fine. But, you know, we can get to know each other a little more, you know, on a personal level. But it's not dating, you know?
Right.
And I know it was hard for him, but girls, be honest. Don't be like, you know, acting like you like him more than you do. Just let him know, you know, let's try it. And, you know, this isn't exclusive by any means. We'll talk on the phone and we'll get to know each other, but...
I was so sure in my
Take
heart.
It slow.
I'm sorry, honey. I was so sure in my heart that she's what I wanted. So when she tells me, you know, hey, let's take it slow, it was so hard for me, because I was like, I was ready to plunge. Let's get married. Vegas has drive-through weddings. So I was like, we're here. No, we weren't going to do that. But I was so far ahead, and brutal honesty helps in a relationship. Not confessions, okay? So don't go out with somebody and then 2 weeks into it, you start relaying on, yeah, I used to carry dope from here to here. Don't tell all your secrets, okay? Like, work into it, you know? Because people then just say too much, and it's just like, whoa, hold on there, partner. Let's just stop it right here. Just work at it, and that's what we did. We worked at it. Little by little, I would share something, she would share something. When we left, I was in the clouds, because at least for the first time in a while, you know, nobody shot me down, you know? So I was really excited and just decided to work. And we went on that mission trip. And at that mission trip, like I share, it's where we just sort of connected. And we saw each other in our element. I saw how she was with kids, how she ministered. And then she saw me leading the team, my capacity, what I could do. And that really just sealed the deal, seeing us in what we wanted to do. I saw my future. She saw her future. And that's really important that you guys see each other in that capacity. And the engagement process was really interesting. One of my things is, I told her, I need you to understand, because I was born and raised in a complete different country, you're bringing two races together, two families. You're bringing, a Latina family and a completely Anglo family together. And that's really important that you work at those things if you happen to racially mix or whatever you decide to do, you know. we're in the kingdom of God. There's no black, white, pink, purple, whatever. But there is still family issues that you have to deal with, and deal with them. It's very, very important. I told her, I said, one of my things, one of my important things is that my wife would speak Spanish, because that was the only thing my mom told me. My mom said, listen, son, you know, I don't ask much, but the only thing I ask is that she speaks Spanish, because my mom doesn't speak English. So it's really hard. I'm looking for a gringa that speaks Spanish. So I'm like, man, that's a hard one. You know, I'm looking for an American girl that can speak Spanish. But I mean, she had it. When I found out she spoke Spanish, I was like, ooh, my meter went, you know, I that's it, you know, ding, 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 I found. So my mom was really excited. She did something really awesome. She took a trip to the Dominican Republic by herself to meet my family. And that really spoke to me in high volume. She stayed with my mother for about a week, and then she was also part of a mission trip there with her uncle. So that was really important. She saw my family environment without me influencing her reaction, and without me influencing how she could relate to him. So that was really important. That was really, really crucial. And it was really awesome, you know. Now, she comes back, and for me, I assume, okay, that's, you know, and my list, remember, I'm on a man on a mission, so I got steps, okay? She knows Spanish, she can sing, met my family. My next list is like to get married. So I'm like, okay, I'm ready, let's do it. So she comes back from the trip, I pick her up from the airport, I'm so excited, I drive her out to a park, I did a picture album for her when we were like, when she was little all the way to now, and then when I was little all the way to now, and then I put it the last page, to be continued. So I was broke. I was so broke. So I had $20, I borrowed $60 from a friend, and I bought a ring. And so I go with my album, you know, real sentimental. I pick her up from the airport, bring her over, and as we're going to her house, we stopped at a park on our way to her house, and I'm like, hey, listen. And before I could say anything, she said, please don't ask me to marry you. I was like, oh my gosh, it happened again, you know? So, you know, it's just like I'm flying. I just got shot with a 12 gauge. But that was, again, brutal honesty at a level relationship, challenge and test your relationship. Until, listen guys, those who are engaged and in a relationship, until you say I do, you can always say we're through. Until you say I do, you can always say we're through. What tends to happen is a lot of times couples get so involved emotionally and so codependent before they're even married that they sometimes you can be in a bad relationship and stick with it just because you're so ingrained together. And for us, it's like, let's separate this process so that we don't do that, you know? We got a few more minutes. So we'll catch up here for those who are engaged. So she shot me down, and then you want to share your side of the story on that?
I just had a lot of things I was wrestling with just with marriage in general, and it took me a few days, and he, like, went to the mountains, like, borrowed a friend's cabin and, like, went off and talked with the Lord, and... And so for those days, too, I was wrestling, like, God, you know, I have all these fears, you know. I've seen some marriages really go south. And so finally, after a few days, we're like, okay, let's talk. And so I just poured out my heart, like, I'm concerned about this, and what if this, and I don't know, I'm all nervous about this. And he just answered gently, you know, and was just like, you know, there's no answer for him. You just have to trust God, you know, and so.
Yeah, and that's really important, guys. In our relationship, if there's one defining moment for everything we did is we asked God and we listened out for God. And I just want to encourage you as we close that you listen out for what God is telling you. That's going to be the defining moment of your heart, because emotions are really, it can change you. Let me just share with you. I found this notebook. We were cleaning our house, and I found this notebook. It's what I wrote out of myself. I went off to the mountain. I mean, this girl rejected me. I had my heart out there, everything, my emotion, my last 20 bucks, I make a ring. You know, I'm just like, something's got to happen. So I go up to the mountains. A friend of ours had a mountain. I had a cabin in the mountains called Mount Charleston in Las Vegas. And so I went up there, and I just prayed and fasted for the weekend. And I just really got close to God. I said, God, you have got to. You told me this is the girl. I know for a fact. I know when God has spoken to me in years past. I know it. So why is it going so wrong? This is what God spoke to me. I wrote a few things. I said, these are the things I'm going to change about my relationship. Number one, I will show respect for myself and for her in every area. Number two, I will spend less time with her and more time with God and with friends. And what tends to happen in a relationship is we become so involved that everybody just sort of fades away. Our buddies that were with us all the time, so now we date, they disappear. Don't do that. Right. You can do that when you're married. Until you get married, let them in. Let them in. Let them see you guys in action. Because when you get married, a wedding is a celebration. A wedding is people saying, we like that. We're going to celebrate with you guys. That's what we want to do. So really important. It says, I will listen to God and not my emotions. I was letting my emotions control everything, not knowing that God has spoken to me. So even though she rejected me, I learned forgiveness through that. I learned to deal with those issues. And says, I will not bring up the subject of marriage unless she does. And that's exactly how it happened. She called me and said, let's talk about it. Okay, if you're already open, I already did my part, so now it's your part. If you're open, then I'll go ahead and bring it out. And it's really important that there's that relationship, not just a one person always doing all the process. And then I'm going to step to make my relationship and let God do it. So I was really just, here's my point. Guys, stick with the Lord. Stick with the Lord. The Lord is the formula in all your relationships, in everything you do. Very, very important. And work hard at it. And so we got engaged. In a, you know, not necessarily a romantic way, but for us, it was really beautiful. It was really beautiful because it came from an honest conversation. You know, we didn't went to the mall and I got on my knee and my cousin was filming, you know, and so we have it on tape. We didn't do any of that. I'm not saying that's wrong. We were just really honest. We had a heart-to-heart. She told me how afraid she was of Mary because she didn't know how it was. I told her, I can't, you know, provide that safety. Only God can do that, but I do want to marry you. And after a really heart-to-heart conversation, God has spoken to me and said, bring the ring when you meet with her. I mean, I had put the ring away. I was like, this is going to be a long... So I said, okay, I'll grab the ring, have it in my pocket. And so when we talked, I said, can I ask you to marry me again? She said, okay, I want to. So I pull out the ring and of course she's crying. I'm like, yes, I did it right for the first time. So, sorry, for the second time. So that was really, really good for us. And our marriage, you know, our wedding was a celebration of our family. People came from all over. You know, we didn't mold to the social standards of wedding. You know, we didn't actually, here this notebook too, I wrote the budget. I was laughing so hard because, you know, I'm you know, writing everything here. And I'm like, okay, how much we have? Flowers, $750. Centerpieces, $250. All this stuff. Limo, $300. And so I'm like, this is so funny because we made a note of cleaning the carpet and the apartment we're going to move and everything. And here's what I'm saying with that. We made a budget and we did a wedding that was so beautiful in our standards. We didn't have to go find out and impress nobody. So those who are about to get married, this is not about impressing anybody and throwing this big fat dinner and then going into debt. Right. Don't do that. Don't do that. Okay? It was a celebration for us. We wanted to have a lot of people there. We wanted people to come and enjoy each other and have fun. And that's exactly how it happened. Our family was there, celebrated us, and it was really important for us to do that. You know, our honeymoon was so special, so beautiful. We were just going to go to San Diego because that's all the money we had, but somebody sent us to Hawaii. So that was really cool, and someday we'll do that again. But that was a lot of fun for us. And our love story, guys, is really, if I can sum it up in this, number one, develop a really strong single life in God. Number two, everything you do, check with God first. If you hear from God, then things are going to be much better. Now, don't get ridiculous. You know, don't be saying, oh, that's the girl. God spoke to me. Wait it out. Look at things. If he did speak to you, allow time to reveal it, which is what I did. I pushed down the feelings more and more, allowing the time to reveal that's what it was. My feelings were there, and they were strong, but the timing was in there. If I would have come out and said, okay, I'm ready to date you, she would have shut me down because she was dealing with really strong stuff, getting over emotional abuse that she had when she was a child. So those things, you don't know what's going on. But guys, more important, those two things. Develop your single life and then really, really be strong in your marriage. It's going to be honest conversation involving God in your relationship. Anything else you want to share? Okay. Go ahead. I want to end with this verse. Come on, Pastor Nate. I want to end with this verse for all of us, if we have it. Psalm 119, 8 through 11. Really, God spoke to me a lot. And I love this verse because I've known it since I was a teenager, and I've always kept it in my heart. How can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word. Verse number 10 says, do we have the whole thing? Yeah? Yeah, I have my Bible here. Oh, there we go. I have tried hard to find you. Don't let me wander from your commandments. And verse 11 answers the question that he asks. It says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. For all of us, purity, what we do, we want to please God. We want to do things the right way. Stick to the word of God. Stick to what God's going to do, and he'll show you the way. Thank you, guys. Sorry if we went a little long. Sorry, President. Oh, that's right.
Don't go away real quick. Because what's kind of nice is starting at 7 o'clock now, we have a little bit of time to play with. So real quick, you guys covered your love story, your dating, your engagement process, and it was beautiful. I tell you, I mean, anybody else enjoy that tonight? That was really good. I mean, I think the Lord spoke in a lot of ways, but for the benefit of those that are married, since you guys have been married, now you had mentioned that one of the things that I tell people all the time is that, you know, if you don't, like you said, deal with your issues before marriage, everything amplifies when you get married.
That's right.
If you were angry before you got married, just wait till you get married, because it's going to blow up, right? If you were insecure before you got married, then once you get married, it's going to be like crazy. And so that's one of the things that I counsel people. Now, can we have maybe another piece of the story?
Yeah.
After you guys got married, maybe individually you guys might be able to just let us in on one of the major things that you guys have dealt with in your married life, and just how you guys dealt with that in the Word and with each other and even with kids or whatever it may be. So
yeah.
I don't know. Who wants to go first?
Sorry. You got something?
You know, it's amazing the patterns, the thinking patterns that you develop when you're just even a teenager and a young person. You know, like I had mentioned, I was angry at my parents and at my dad, and I would just think and think and think. And that's one thing I've really had to undo is to have positive thoughts. Watch what I'm thinking. You know, for guys, maybe it has to do with, you know, lustful thoughts or something. And us girls, it has to do a lot of times with angry thoughts or just getting so frustrated with things and then just thinking and thinking. You know, you're sitting there washing the same plate for like 5 minutes, you know, just thinking about things. And so we need to watch, you know, our thinking. And anytime those negative, angry thoughts come in, to know what to do with those. Maybe you need to write it down, look at it, and then just give it to God, get it out and over with. Or maybe you need to find a scripture like I've been doing, and or there was a period I really had to just be like, whatsoever things are pure, think on these things, praiseworthy, lovely, and I would just have to speak it out loud. And so for me, it was just some thought patterns and some anger things and frustration and just like, you know, take it to the Lord and just flush it out, or else just put a stop to it immediately.
Yeah.
You
know? That's good. For me, it has been a relation and culturally wise. You know, even though I know English, I understand things, that doesn't mean I grew up in a completely different culture. Really, it's a culture that has a lot of reservations. It's a very private culture, even though it's a lot of fun. You know, families are very conservative. So coming to that, there was a lot of things in my culture. Women do just about everything for the man, and that was not so. You know, the American culture is a little more mixed in some ways. You know, they share the burdens, do that. So, you know, when I'm getting married, I'm like, "Where's dinner, woman? I mean, come on!" And then she would bring me out a little sandwich. And I'm like, "I'm Hispanic. I need rice. I need beans. I need pollo. I mean, just lay it all out, you know." So sandwich thing doesn't cut it with Doritos. It ain't happening. So some of that stuff was just kind of work out our system of how we relate, you know. And for when you get married, it's really important that you give each other patience. Things are not going to click right away. So while you find your rhythm, your groove, there's going to be areas that are those edges. So like she was saying, she needed to say the word of God. I needed to remind myself, there's a future for us, and this is what I want. So we're going to work at it. And the third thing we did, we weren't afraid. I was, because I come from a really, you know, kind of quiet, secretive culture. She showed me how to be more transparent. She's very transparent, very honest. So we did counseling together. We went to a person in our church and said, hey, we're struggling in our marriage. We need help. So don't be afraid of going to counseling. And, you know, at the time, so here I am, I'm the youth pastor, and I have to go to counseling. That was really embarrassing. But, you know, the Bible says every time you start hiding things, sin becomes greater. So once we put it out in the open, there was no shame. There was just restoration. So very important.
Very good. All right, well, let's give the Lord a praise. And thank you, guys.
Thank you, Pastor.
Really appreciate you guys coming.